A long line of land faced us. To one side, a narrow channel between high cliffs, and to the other, another narrow channel between high cliffs. I shaded my eyes and stared hard through the faint haze. On the leftmost cliff, I could just make out the outline of a lone tree. Circe had mentioned that a fig tree grew above the cliff closest to Charybdis, the whirlpool. Therefore, the cliff opposite must be the home of the terrible Scylla. Across to the other side drifted and stirred two gigantic rocks. We all saw in that direction a great plume of spray and heard the heaving and boiling of the violently agitated sea all around. "Those are the Planctae, the famed wandering rocks," I said. "Any attempt to steer between them would be suicide. So, to get to the open sea beyond, the sea that will take us home, we have to choose that channel, there." I pointed to the cliffs of Scylla and Charybdis. I warned them in detail of Charybdis, whose smoking spray we could now see as we steered slowly towards her. "Fatal to go too near her powerful influence," I said. "We all die if we do. We must steer a course closer to the other cliff," I said, not mentioning Scylla. Not a word did I say about that terrible creature and her long neck and gnashing jaws. I curse myself for it to this day. It was cowardice. It was dishonourable. Not the act of a leader of men. Yet it was necessary. So perhaps exactly the act of a leader of men. For me to choose between the monster and the whirlpool was easy compared to choosing between concealing or revealing a truth that would have kept the men rowing or had them put up their oars and refused to go on. We had to go on. I had to hide the truth. 6 good, brave men, comrades and brothers in arms, would have to be sacrificed. I'm ashamed to say that I adopted with sinful ease the breezily confident manner that was required. I stood at the mast and cheered them on. "That's it, my boys. Up your strokes now. See the spume rising up like smoke? That's the whirlpool. That's Charybdis. Helmsman, keep to the opposite cliff." The power of the whirlpool to our left as we passed was terrifying. We steered as far from it as possible, but we could see it sucking the water down into a swirling vortex that reached the very bottom of the sea. I counted to myself and had reached the number 60, when, with a thunderous roar, a vast waterspout was vomited up from the deep. Circe was right. Once pulled into that churning frenzy, we would have had no hope of survival. We were halfway through when what only I knew would happen happened. Scylla was upon us. 6 long necks stretched themselves down as far as the deck, the heads at the end of each snapping and snarling. In an instant, 6 of the crew were snatched up in the razor-sharp teeth. We stared up in horror at those poor, beautiful, brave men flailing and thrashing in the 6 drooling jaws. I remembered Circe's instructions and mumbled hasty prayers to Scylla's mother, Crates, as if such a thing could have a mother. At once the creature retracted those long necks and pulled the struggling, howling men to the cliff top. They shouted out my name as they shot upwards. That will live with me forever. Were they shouting out in recrimination or in desperate farewell? Perhaps they were crying for me as a frightened child cries for its parent. I will never know. But in my darkest moments, I hear only accusation in those dying screams. And again, I see them stretching out their hands to me and calling my name. In all my travels up and down the wide seas of the world, I never saw anything that so wrenched my heart and sickened my soul. But we were through with the ship, and most of its crew were alive and well. I had to believe that I made the right choice. Just one more island to negotiate, and our journey home would be guaranteed.